Our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1, reading verses 9 to 11. And you'll find this on page 836 of the Pew Bibles. It's Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, on page 836. This is God's word for us. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased."
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your Spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Imagine for a moment that an alien spaceship landed in your back garden, and you decided you were brave enough to go out and meet those strangers from a far-off place. They might be from Glasgow or even Greenock. But you've gone out to meet them, and they come sliding down the ramp of the spaceship and utter the immortal words, "Take us to your leader." To whom would you take them? Would you think of your MP, perhaps? Or your MSP, if you can figure out which one from the list of six or eight that might be appropriate. Maybe you think it needs somebody bigger than even the MP, Nicola or Boris, and nobody's to say, well, they'd be able to talk to aliens because they're halfway there anyway. Who would you take them to? Who is our leader? In the early first century in Judea, the question would have caused just as much confusion and uncertainty. Was the leader at that time the Roman governor in his palace in Caesarea? Or perhaps the high priest in the temple in Jerusalem? The Pharisees and the community that copied and preserved the Dead Sea Scrolls would have recognized neither of them. The Sadducees would have recognized both. The Sicarii terrorists might have recognized the high priest, but certainly not the Romans. The disciples of John the Baptist thought he was the leader, someone come in the tradition of the Old Testament prophets, declaring the word of God. But I think in the early years of that century, no one would have said Jesus of Nazareth. After all, could anything good come out of Nazareth? However, this obscure Jesus from an obscure Galilean town was the king. He came among his own and they did not recognize him. And just because he wasn't recognized as king doesn't mean that he wasn't the king. He was and is the king. This is 2020 vision. This is your eyes working the way they should if you see Jesus and recognize him as the king of all creation. Then you know that you're seeing things properly. Jesus is God's king in God's kingdom, one king for all people and all nations and all creation. Hope you remember which day of the week our Alpha course begins on. We've mentioned it once or twice. It begins on Wednesday. Alpha is the first letter, and the Alpha course is about first things. Things in our Christian faith that are of first importance. That means every week it's about Jesus, because Jesus is number one. He is the first thing about our faith and our life. Alpha and our Alpha course is like going to the opticians. You get your vision checked and your eyesight cleared up so that you can see the first thing, which is Jesus, more clearly. Jesus is the new King who has been given by God for us all. And we need to see him and know him just a bit better than we do today. Jesus announced, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." In our world, how do you know when you've moved from one nation to the next nation? Perhaps if you're driving down the A1, there's a huge big sign at the side of the road, "Welcome to England." And you never see anyone getting their picture taken there. But coming up the other way, there's a huge big sign, "Welcome to Scotland." And there's always folks getting their picture taken there. How do you know when you've moved from one nation, one territory, to another? The money will probably look different. Currency has always been important. Whenever a new monarch or emperor comes to the throne, one of their first tasks is to issue new coins or new banknotes, almost always with their image embossed on the currency somewhere. This happened in the ancient world. It happens in our world. In the ancient world, rulers had the custom of a big lump of stone, and they would put laws that were to be obeyed written on the stone, and near the top, their image would be set so that everyone knew, you go past this piece of stone, you're entering into the territory of this king, and here is the way you are to live. Set out below it. The image of the ruler is a key marker of a new ruler. Just 30 years after the events of Mark 1, the Apostle Paul would write, "He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." God has embossed his image on creation. And that image is Jesus. And we know that we're in a new kingdom when we see the image of Jesus, when we see him. For centuries, Jewish daily prayer has named God and identified him as the King of the universe. There are many Psalms, we know this, which celebrate the Lord as King. Jesus, the image of God, announces the coming of God's kingdom. In this, Jesus is not really like a town crier or a herald. "Listen up, everybody. So-and-so, somebody else, has become king, and you now live in his kingdom." Jesus is much more like the king himself, standing in the public place saying, "Here I am, I'm the king. And you now get to live in my kingdom." Jesus declares his own reign that we might know him. This is who we believe Jesus is, the King of all creation, the new King in God's kingdom. In the rest of the gospel, what we see Jesus doing in story after story after story is displaying the authority of the King. The authority of the king over creation. Jesus walks on water. No one else can do that. Jesus multiplies bread and fish to feed thousands. The king of all creation has authority over creation in his healing miracles. Jesus touches lepers and they're cleansed. He puts his hands on folks' eyes and they get to see. He touches ears and the deaf hear. Jesus, the King of all creation, has authority over our bodies. In his powerful words. Just the next story in Mark chapter 1. Jesus teaches in the synagogue and the crowd respond by saying, "What is this new teaching? He speaks as one having authority." Jesus didn't say, "I might be the way and the truth and the life." He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus didn't say, "You know, it's possible that the truth might set you free." He said, "The truth will set you free." Jesus spoke powerful words of authority as king. Above all, in his saving victory on the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus displayed that there is no enemy of any kind that can defeat him or overcome him. Jesus is the victorious king who reigns over all creation. And all you need to do to prove that is turn to page after page after page in the gospel stories and read of Jesus doing everything the king should do. All that we would expect a king to do, that's what we see Jesus doing. And so faith in Jesus as king in God's kingdom is never jumping into the dark. Faith is never blind faith. Blind faith isn't faith at all. Faith is being persuaded by the evidence. We see what Jesus has done. We hear what Jesus has done. We experience in our own life what Jesus does. And on the basis of that evidence, we commit ourselves to him as our king. That's what faith is. Jesus announces the coming of God's kingdom. And in his kingly reign, Jesus displays that coming. The majesty and authority of God's kingdom are always seen in Jesus the King. This is who he is. This is who he always will be. After he announced the coming of God's kingdom, Jesus commanded, "Repent and believe the gospel." In the ancient world, in the time of Jesus and for a few centuries before, a king might leave his city and go out to have a battle against some other city and some other king. If the king won the battle, he would take one of his men, a messenger called an evangelist, and send him back home with a good news message called the evangel to declare the good news. The king has won the battle. The city is safe. All is well. That's what Jesus is doing. The king in God's kingdom is established, and he is sending the evangel, the good news message. God's kingdom has started, and you are invited to join in. Jesus uses the word to describe the good news message that God's kingdom has come, which was common in the ancient world for a good news message. All people are commanded by Jesus to respond to that good news. He gives us two imperative verbs, repent and believe. Repent literally means to have a new mind, to change your thinking. In Christian vocabulary and in Christian thinking, over the centuries, the word repent has diminished. It has been narrowed and narrowed and narrowed until when we hear the word repent, what we think is being said is, you've got to say sorry for your sin. You've got to repent of your sin. Say sorry. But notice in the passage that Kath read, Jesus didn't say anything about sin. It's not mentioned. Now, Jesus in other places in the gospel will talk much about sin, and we'll use the word repent in relation to sin, but not in this passage. What is Jesus getting at by the word repent in this passage when he has announced the good news of God's kingdom? Well, in the ancient world, people thought Caesar was Lord. And they thought that his empire was the empire. The Good News Declaration is that Jesus is Lord and that God's kingdom is the empire. Not Caesar, but Jesus. Not the Roman Empire, but God's kingdom. Today we think that presidents and kings, prime ministers and first ministers are rulers and leaders. But the gospel, in an incredibly political move, declares that Jesus is the leader and the ruler and the king. That God's kingdom is the kingdom. And Jesus says, change your mind. Change your way of thinking about who your leader is and about which kingdom you want to live in. Who is the leader? Whose kingdom will you live in? You may have thought that human economics and military power are what set the agenda for today. That's the only choices. We can only live in this economic and might is right kingdom. But today, you can change your mind. Today, you can hear the good news that Jesus is the king, and you can come and live in his kingdom and have Jesus as your king. This is where belief comes in. Belief isn't only something you think about. Belief is a word that describes what you do in your life. I believe it's safer to cross at the green man. Do you all believe that? Does it change where you cross the road? I believe that exercise is good for me. Anyone else believe that and maybe not do anything about it? What I believe must affect how I live, or I don't believe it. It's just words and noise. Believe the good news. Jesus really is the king. God's kingdom really has come. We can believe that on the evidence of the rest of the gospel story, the reality of the cross and the empty tomb. This is not blind belief, but faith in what God has done in Jesus. This belief has to change our lives. Jesus sums that up in this short phrase, repent and believe the good news. Change your thinking and then change your life because Jesus is king in God's kingdom. We don't have to live in the human kingdoms of greed and violence and selfishness. We can live in the whole new kingdom, the whole new kingdom of God with Jesus as king. And so Jesus says, follow me. Perhaps you're thinking, I really like the sound of this good news. I like the sound of Jesus being king, and I really want to get into God's kingdom. But there might be a points-based immigration system. I might not get a visa and be allowed to stay. There might be a test to get in, and I might not pass the test. Hear the good news. Don't be afraid. To Simon and Andrew, Jesus said, follow me. Seeing James and his brother John, Jesus called them. Later on, Jesus is going to call a tax collector, a freedom fighter. Perhaps we might say a terrorist. A woman at a well with a shameful past. A Roman centurion who only needed help. There was no one Jesus met to whom he did not say, follow me, and that includes all of us. There is no possibility that Jesus will not invite you to come into God's kingdom. Rising in triumph from the grave, King Jesus sent his followers out with this evangel, this good news message, and the invitation. Invite all people to follow me and enter into God's kingdom. These are the two characteristic words of King Jesus. Follow me. That's it. There's nothing to add to that. No caveats, no exceptions. Today, he is speaking them to you, to all of you. Follow me. Jesus is the King, come from God to bring God's kingdom into being and to invite you into that kingdom. When he says repent and believe the good news, he means you are invited. You are called. You are welcome into the kingdom. Today you can follow King Jesus out of the kingdoms of darkness and fear into the kingdom of his grace and his love. The kingdom of God's grace and King Jesus defeats every darkness, poverty, worry, envy, greed, jealousy, selfishness. Follow Jesus into the new kingdom of God and have your life transformed into a life of hope and faith. Today you can follow King Jesus and know that he is your king. A king who will set you free from your past, from the harm you have suffered, from the mistakes you have made, from the harm you have caused others. Jesus will set you free. King Jesus will set you free in the present, today, right now, from the exhaustion of the rat race, from the weariness of grasping after more. And King Jesus will set you free for every tomorrow. King Jesus will be with you when you get to tomorrow, whatever there is there for you, to that doctor's appointment, that interview, that meeting that you've been dreading. Whatever lies before you, King Jesus is already there and will be with you when you get there. Follow me. Live with Jesus as King and share in his kingdom. And you're invited. You are included in Jesus' invitation, follow me. You can come. You can answer Jesus' call today. It might be for some for the first time. It might be for some you're sitting thinking, I want to do that all over again. I've been following Jesus for years, but I want to say today, yes, I'm going to do that again. Well, you go right ahead and say that to Jesus. If you want to, you can come and speak with Gordon or I or someone else in the church that we might encourage you in that. It might be you want to ask more questions about Jesus. Well, that's what Alpha's for. On Wednesday at 7:30, come along and you ask your questions. Maybe that's the first step you can take. To answer Jesus' invitation and follow him is to come to Alpha on Wednesday. Will you take that step and you come? This is the good news. This is the truth that changes every other truth in this world. Jesus is King. God's kingdom has already started and you can come in today. Come and follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed by the generosity of your invitation to us, that we, even we, can come into your kingdom. We thank you for Jesus, who is the King in that kingdom, and we pray that you would fix our eyes, that we would see him more clearly. We pray that you would strengthen our hearts, that we would follow Jesus and answer his invitation. God, our Father, Jesus, our Savior, be with us right now in these precious moments as we say to you, yes, Lord, we want to follow you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.